This podcast is brought to you by Julius Meinl Coffee.
But first, it is time to talk A-League and FFA Cup with the Sydney Morning Herald's Dom Bossy, who has been paying close attention to the preparation of both the Sydney sides. Dom, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on the show, Dom. I believe you watched the FFA Cup semi-final between Sydney and Western Sydney. What did you make of the game? It seemed like a fantastic occasion out there and in a stadium that's not often used for A-League contests.
Yeah, it was a very, very special night. Playing out at Penrith was a great experience, a nice little stadium, and I think it was about 14,000 or just under 15,000 there, but it felt pretty full. But it was a great match, a real game of two halves, and I think the Western Sydney Wanderers will feel a little bit hard done by the scoreline in the end, considering the amount of chances they had. But in the end, I think just enough class and experience prevailed for Sydney FC. I think that got them over the line in the end. Their first three shots on target all flew into the back of the net. Now, that doesn't tell you about the class within their forward line. Well, I don't know what will.
Absolutely ruthless efficiency from the Sky Blues. But just on Penrith Stadium, why don't the Wanderers play there more often? It seems a much better venue than Spotless in terms of atmosphere. I mean, maybe it is a little far for some of those Western Sydney fans, but why is it that they haven't used Penrith while they're building their new stadium?
There's four or five pretty good reasons. It's not that far from probably their core membership base. I don't know how familiar you are with Sydney, but they've got a big stretch of membership that goes from Parramatta to Penrith. So it is on a train line. It is kind of connected for their core base. But there are a lot of other issues, and they relate to availability of the venue. Obviously, there's some clashes later on in the season with the rugby league team that's based out of there. First and foremost, their fans actually voted for Spotless and ANZ Stadium when they put it out to their members for a vote two and a half years ago or so, when they were looking to move from Parramatta. Corporates are an issue out of Penrith. There are some shortages of availability of boxes and so on, and also the size and capacity. Whilst it looks nice for a pre-season match, it still only holds 20-odd thousand or so, just under, I think. So some of the bigger games, they actually lose out financially.
Hi, Dom. It's Louise.
Hey, Louise. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. Great to have you on the show. A 3-0 defeat to their crosstown rivals, 12 days out from the start of the A-League season. How much do you really read into the Wanderers' performance after that result, and where do you think their issues were from the weekend?
It's a hard one to put your finger on because there was a lot of promise in their play. I think against any other side or even any other goalkeeper, rather than Andrew Redmayne that night, they would have had at least one, two, maybe even three goals. So they'll be kind of cursing their luck in that sense. They do seem to have a few issues in the heart of midfield. I feel there's a big lack of authority in the presence of the heart of the park. I thought Costa Grozos was very impressive. Albeit played slightly out of position. He's normally a number 10, not so much a number 6. So I think there's a bit more to come. Rashid Mahazi's arrival will probably add a little bit more experience in the park, but I think they really need Kieran Backus to step up. This needs to be a big year for him. He was excellent under Tony Popovich. He suffered alongside others with the transition to Josep Gombau, but he was let's not forget, he was a vice-captain of the club. He's now at that age where he needs to regain that form, and I think he can really be one to watch, but he's already shown that he's got some problems at the start of this season.
Absolutely. It wasn't so long ago that some people were talking about early Socceroos potential for Kieran Backus. So where has it all gone wrong for him?
Yeah, look, it's funny. I think the first game of last season, or maybe it was the second game, whenever the first derby was, we were writing about how the first derby was a battle for potentially defensive midfield spot at the World Cup between obviously Brandon O'Neill, Josh Berlanti at Sydney FC, Chris Hurd, and Kieran Backus. So you're right, they were talked about, these players were held in such a high regard back then. I think, like I said, the transition away from Popovich's style to Gombau didn't help his cause. There was a lot of issues in the midfield under Gombau. He was a victim of that, but also I think his temperament hasn't really been befitting of a leader at the club. I think he's had a few kind of problems. I think one, I'll have to scratch my head and just jog my memory, but I think there was an issue once relating to a potential release to another club. But I think there have been some attitude problems in training, dating back, well, I think about 9-10 months now.
Yeah, it seems as if the club has kept it under pretty close wraps, but I do remember a few disciplinary issues and so forth behind the scenes with Backus. Mm-hmm. So hopefully he can get his head screwed on and focus on his football, because they do need someone to control the game in that position. And the other position that, you know, worried me watching the game over the weekend was, I mean, Tarek Elrich playing at centre-back raised a few eyebrows, including my own. Patrick Ziegler obviously absent, and he's a class player by the looks of things. Since he's come in, he's played very well in the limited amount that we've seen him. But does the lack of defensive depth in the Wanderers worry you?
Oh, it doesn't so much. I think it was a bit puzzling to see Tarek Elrich playing in a less than familiar role. But let's not forget, they do have other players there. You know, Ruan Tongyike's another one who's got a lot of promise, and I think he's good enough to play there. I'm not sure if that was a tactical... maybe they thought Tarek can play in that role. Maybe there were some injury concerns or fitness concerns over Ruan. In fact, I'm almost certain there was. So I'm not too concerned over that in the long term. Maybe in the immediate term for round one, potentially. But I think they've got enough depth there for the rest of the season.
And Dom, what is the benchmark for the Western Sydney Wanderers this season?
It has to be to make the finals. Anything less than that is a failure. I think considering what they've gone through last season, they've invested heavily in a coach, probably not as much in their squad, but I think they still have a decent squad, one that should really be able to test some of the top teams, if not make a good run for the title themselves. But they need to, in fact, in my opinion, not only finish in the top six, I think really they have to finish in the top half of the table after what happened last season. Probably even third or fourth would be the bare minimum requirement I would set. But the difficulty in saying all this, of course, is that there are so many teams that have recruited really well. So to finish, I think, even in the top four is going to be some achievement this season when you look across the league.
And on that note, who do you think has recruited the best to this point?
Obviously, coming from a low base, I think Central Coast Mariners have done a fantastic job. If you look at their forward line, Ross McCormack, Tommy Orr's come in as well. Even Matt Simon's going to add a lot to their sort of presence up front. That's what they lacked last season. But Jonathan Aspro is going to be, or could be, one of the signings of the season. He's a defender that I rate very highly. He's very classy on the ball, reads the game well. I think if he comes back from his injury in time, he could add well, so much to a back line that struggled. But that's obviously coming from the lowest base last season. I think Perth Glory have strengthened really well. Matt Spranovich, it'll be great to see him come back. And Chris Economides is going to add a lot more sort of pace, creativity to their attacking line. And I'm hearing Diego Costa is in the best shape that he's been in since he arrived in Australia. And Andy Keogh, I think, is going to really flourish this year. They look good. Everyone knows how Melbourne Victory have recruited as well with their two big profile players. And Sydney FC is going to be a really interesting one, considering the players that they released, or let go rather, to sign Siem De Jong and Adam Lafondre.
Yeah, speaking of Sydney, they have recruited superbly well after losing two of the competition's best players, but Siem De Jong is very different to Adrian Mijajewski, and Lafondre is very different to Bobo. So what have you seen from them so far about the way that they've adapted their playing style to suit these new recruits?
Okay, in all honesty, probably not enough to make a very firm decision just yet. But I think it looks like they're going to play a little bit more narrow through the park in attack, but they've got a lot more pace in the forward line. Trent Bahaja is probably the most notable addition that suggests that. But they've lost a bit of size in Bobo, and they've gained a lot of pace and dynamism in Lafondre and Bahaja. Siem De Jong looks like he's probably not going to have the mobility that Mijajewski had, but he's got the technical ability, and he's at a great age. He's only 29 years old, and you know, he's played at some of the biggest clubs in the biggest leagues in the world.
And Trent Bahaja, you mentioned there, he's been an absolute revelation in preseason, scoring a bag full of goals. Has he surprised you as much as he surprised me?
Yeah, he has actually, mainly because he's playing in a slightly different role. If we remember, he played a lot out wide for Central Coast Mariners, understandably, given his pace. But the funny thing is that when he signed for Sydney FC, they were heralding it as the capture of the fastest player in the league. And then Central Coast Mariners go and sign Usain Bolt. So, yeah, he has surprised me in some sense, in particular his composure in front of goal. But it just shows that what happens when a promising young player goes to an environment that's probably got a little bit more quality and experience around him.
It makes me wonder how some of those younger players at the Mariners would fare, you know, if they're in a more functional environment. And Bahaj has seized that opportunity going to probably the strongest club in the league. But Dom, we haven't had a chance to hear your thoughts on the whole Congress issue that rumbled on and on throughout basically the past year or so, and the eventual resolution we saw last week. Which side of the debate did you fall on? And are you happy with the reforms that seem to be going through now?
I'm happy we have a resolution. The time will tell about, you know, which is what was the right decision. I think, though, what is very pleasing to see is the amount of voices that now have influence within the FFA's Congress. I think that's undeniably a positive thing. The makeup of it, of course, there's some conjecture around, you know, who has the most influence. But I'm very happy to see that there are a lot more voices in there. I'm very happy to see that the women's game has been represented much more. In fact, well, it wasn't represented at all before. So these are all positive things. Now, we've got a lot of unity in the game now. Special interest groups and stakeholders have banded together for reforms against the FFA. Now we need maturity to see it through to completion, that to show that this was the right step forward. But so far, there's a lot of reason to be optimistic, but time will tell whether that's false hope or not.
One reason perhaps to be pessimistic, Dom, is the article you put out suggesting that expansion could be hindered by this Congress debacle and the changes that have been undergone as a result, the turmoil. And Maurice Yemma from Southern Expansion has come out very strongly urging the FFA and the new board that comes in not to hold expansion back as a result. Do you think this is a realistic proposition, or is this a sort of worst case scenario that we get expansion held off for another year?
I think it's very important to note that the potential delay of A-League expansion is not a result, a direct result rather, of the Congress reforms that have been pushed through. It is a decision that could be made by the FFA board in response to it. Now, I know it's a very small detail, but it's very important because all along since the expansion process started back in March, I believe, a date of October 31 announcement had always been set. That was subject to change, but that was always a date that we were told. And this was operating within the background of the Congress issue. Now, everyone knew that the Congress issue was going along, and everyone knew that there was a risk, a very, very real risk, that some of the board members might not be re-elected at the AGM, which is separate again to the November AGM, which is separate again to the Congress. And I know it's all getting a bit bogged down in the politics of it, but what I'm saying is that the expansion was always supposed to happen regardless of any political decision that was going to be made or any political outcome that was going to be made within the game. So I think that for the good of the game, the FFA should go ahead with expansion. At the absolute very least, they should make their recommendations. And if they don't feel that they are capable of making a firm decision, then those recommendations should be passed on to the new board, who should make the decision by December. Now, if that delays it by another 5 weeks or so, hopefully that's not enough to delay the introduction of the teams, because we need two teams in by 2019 and 2020.
Yeah, lots to occur between now and the end of October, which is, as you touch on, the deadline for when the two teams are meant to be announced. But Dom, thank you so much. We'll leave it there, and we look forward to chatting to you again in the future.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.